Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. I'm Mathilde and I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor supporting women in healing mother wounds through women's circles and through the one-on-one 10 weeks program. To know more about these offerings, check out my website, womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. Today, I want to address a question or two that I get asked a lot. And these are, how do I get to be more able to manage my mother's abusive behavior? And the other question is, after this healing is done, will I be able to tolerate more of my mother's behaviors? Have you asked yourself these questions too? I definitely have. I thought that healing was supposed to make me better adjusted so that I could function within my dysfunctional family. It was surprising for me to discover that what I was experiencing wasn't quite that, but rather the opposite. By the end of this episode, we'll get to redefine what we mean by managing, as in managing the narcissistic mother's behavior, and give it a more helpful meaning. But for now, my question to you is, do you really want to be functioning and adjusted to an abusive and dysfunctional relationship? Is this your goal? Is this what would feel like healing to you? Do you want to grow a thick skin and cope with abuse and toxicity? Do you want to become more tolerant to that? Is that what healing would mean to you? Krishnamurti said, "It is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society." And in the same way, it is no measure of healing how much you can learn to tolerate abusive and toxic behavior. After all, coping and surviving is what you've done most of your life, isn't it? We all have, each in our unique and personal ways. That's what got us to here. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's no judgment there. We needed those coping mechanisms, those surviving strategies to actually cope and not quite tolerate, but be able to somehow, in some way, function within the dysfunctionality of having a narcissistic mother and the toxicity of such a relationship. So there's no judgment. There's no looking back and going, oh, that was wrong up until now. None of that was wrong. All of it was our best effort that got us to here, which is wonderful. But I do say to my clients as a disclaimer at the beginning when they start working with me that during this journey, what I tell them is during this journey, you will become less and less tolerant to abuse, less tolerant to what doesn't feel right for you, and less tolerant to what hurts. If you're coming in expecting to become more tolerant to toxicity and to abuse, that's not going to happen. And why is that? Why is that? Why do we become less tolerant to that? Because most of the time, and this is not to say always, the reason we take such levels of abuse is because of the conditioning we have received since early childhood that we should be able to take such level of abuse, that somehow we have to. Maybe you've been told that you're too sensitive if you say that it hurts. Maybe you've been told that you're a bad daughter if you set boundaries. Maybe you've been taught that anger, which is the emotion behind boundaries, makes you a bad person. Or maybe you've been told again and again that your mother is right, no matter what she does, and that you're not allowed to contradict your mother, and so on. There's so many different versions of this, and we all have had our own personal version of this. But all of it leading to a permanent feeling of guilt and self-loathing, which you can only quieten by tolerating more abuse. So that sense of guilt that we constantly feel, that sense of self-loathing, shaming of ourselves, inadequacy, we can only kind of make it go silent when we just put our heads down and take more abuse. And I'm saying this because I have lived most of my life exactly like that, so I really get it. I'm not saying this from a preaching perspective at all. I am saying it from a very deep personal experience journey in this, anytime I tried in the past to start setting boundaries in an unskillful way, I had no idea what I was doing. I had very little awareness. I didn't know about maternal narcissism. I had no idea of any of that. And I was trying to take my head out of the water and try to set some boundaries and try to change my situation and try to remove myself from the dysfunctionality. Guilt was coming up, and the fear and the anxiety of the choices and the decisions. And then obviously you start getting flying monkeys and whatnot, and you get dragged back or gaslighted and you get dragged back in. So I really, really get it. And I want you to know that you have done amazing so far. As I was saying earlier, it's important. All of those coping strategies and mechanisms are not to be shamed, because they brought you so far. They brought you to here, and they've been essential for your survival to here. You have done your best in every moment of every day in order to survive and to protect your heart at the best of your awareness. And it is a full testament to you that you continuously search to understand, heal, and feel better overall. And I can say that with confidence, because you're here, you're listening to this. And I'm sure you're not just listening to this podcast, you're listening to other podcasts on similar topics. You're searching and looking for something that works for you, that is gonna support you and help you. You have guides, mentors, therapists, whatever. You have a team that is there to support you. And if you don't have found yet the right people to guide you and support you, you're still looking, and you haven't given up. And so that is full testament to you, and it's to be celebrated. But adjusting to abuse is still no measure of healing. So if you somehow feel that is what is going to measure your healing, that you can actually just be in a space with someone highly toxic or highly abusive, and all of a sudden, because you've done some healing work, you're going to be able to take that, and that is going to be the measure of how much healing you've done. And if you can't take it, it means you're still broken. Well, then that's not how this works. And I really want to make sure you hear this, because it's no measure of healing how well adjusted you are to toxicity and abuse. The more you go along in this journey you're on, the more you'll get to develop awareness of what is truly going on with your mother's behavior, and most of all inside of yourself. So you're going to get to start being able to accept and love parts of yourself. And from there, you get to open up to who you truly are, and to your authentic self. With that, you get more and more grounded in who you are beyond your trauma responses and your coping mechanisms. And from this place, your choices and decisions are no longer fueled by guilt or fear or lack of confidence or even frustrations. They are fueled by deep connection with your gut feeling and inner wisdom of your mind-heart-belly connection. A lot of words. But all of this to say that from this place, tolerance to toxicity and abuse goes right down to zero. So that's the journey. Not adjusting to more abuse and toxicity as a measure of healing. But the measure of healing is how grounded and reconnected you get with yourself. And in actual fact, the more grounded and reconnected you get with yourself, the more free from guilt and fear and all of that you get, the less tolerant you get to toxicity and abuse. Not because you become a righteous, arrogant, and selfish person. So don't believe the abusers when they call you that. That's nothing but gaslighting. Because they're going to say that to you. The abusers don't like someone getting connected with themselves and getting stronger and more grounded and getting able to set boundaries from the right places and all of that. They don't like it. And so they are going to call you righteous and arrogant and selfish and bad. They are going to do that. It's one of their reactions. They're going to try to take you down, get the guilt back going, confuse you, make you feel again bad, and then get you back in the loop. But that's not true. That's not what you're becoming. What you're becoming is fiercely respectful and protective of your precious heart and deeply in tune with your inner guidance system, which doesn't choose abuse. I'm going to say that again. So you're not becoming righteous, arrogant, and selfish. You're becoming fiercely respectful and protective of your precious heart and deeply in tuned with your inner guidance system, which does not choose abuse. No one would choose abuse if they had not been conditioned to believe they had to put up with it. And I know you haven't chosen it. So before I get a clatter of messages, comments, and emails saying, but I haven't chosen abuse. Of course you haven't. I am not saying that you have chosen abuse at all. Of course not. It's none of it is your choice, your fault. It didn't start with you and all of that. But when we keep getting caught in the loop, it's because we are caught in this guilt-fueled, fear-fueled loop that makes us take abuse even when we definitely never deserve it, but even when we start knowing that this is just not healthy and not good, and yet we still remain stuck in it. So in that, within that context, when without the conditioning, without the set of beliefs that we can, that we might have ended up being carrying about being bad, not enough, responsible for our parents, filled with guilt and all of that, no one would choose abuse. So when you get in contact with your authentic self, when you start clearing away and you get through the layers of those beliefs that are not yours, that come from your mother or your parents or your narcissistic family, when you start moving through the layers of the coping strategies, when you start moving through the layers of the trauma responses, and you start actually really truly reconnecting with yourself, that's where you really become not very tolerant to abuse and toxicity. Now, does that mean that by going on this inner journey of healing and self-discovery, you inevitably need to cut all contacts with your narcissistic mother and every other abusive member of your family? Not necessarily. Of course, this is a generic episode and every situation is different. So working with clients in the one-on-one program, we go in depth into the specifics of each personal case, but here I can only go general. So the amount of contact you will decide to keep with your mother and by extension with other toxic members of your family, if that's the case for you, will depend on the level of abuse that is currently going on. And the only person who can feel into that is you. So there isn't a formula, there isn't a right and wrong way to go about it. It's really what within this journey feels right for you. I have clients who now have a much better relationship with their mothers as they have recognized the abuse was not in the current relationship in the present moment. It was more an abuse that had happened in the past and there had been a change of behavior. So that's one way it can go. And I also have other clients who have chosen to go totally no contact because the present level of abuse was too much for them to take. And it is a very personal journey, and there's no absolute right or wrong way to go about it. What will definitely happen, though, on this journey, and by this, when I say this journey, I'm not actually referring to you choosing to work with me. So this is not like some kind of a sales speech for my program. This is not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is to the entirety of this journey of healing and self-discovery that you are on, whichever way you're choosing to go about it. And with whatever mentor or guide or healer or therapist or a bunch of people that you resonate the most with. So whichever, because if you're listening to this podcast today, you are on this journey of healing and self-discovery in some way, shape or form. Even if you're only doing it through the podcast or even if you're seeking support, whichever way you want to go about it, what this journey will bring you is what I'm going to describe now, and it's in about four different levels. So The first level is you will learn to discern what works for you and what doesn't, what feels right by you and what doesn't, what you can be okay with and what you simply can't accept, all in a progressively more and more guilt-free way. So again, your choices and decisions won't be fueled by the guilt and the fear anymore, but they will be fueled more and more by the grounded awareness that you're getting. And yes, there's still gonna be guilt and fear and anxiety and stuff like that being triggered. That doesn't mean that they just magically disappear, but they're not gonna be the guiding force behind your choices. So then the next level, the second level, is that based on your inner guidance system's wisdom, you will learn to set boundaries from a deeply rooted and grounded place in a way that is non-negotiable and that works. And if you want to go deeper into the boundaries setting topic, you can listen to episode 6, The One Key Secret to Successful Boundary Setting with a Narcissistic Mother. I do have a new episode on boundaries in the oven, because that episode 6, it was a while ago, but it's still very relevant and it still has a lot of good information for you. And then the next one, when I will do that, it will have more to add to that. But for the moment, you can still go and listen to that episode. So the next level then again, so after you gain the awareness and you start discerning what works and what doesn't for you, and then from there you start setting your non-negotiable boundaries that work, then the next level is you will learn to let your narcissistic mother or any other abusive member of your family have their own reactions to your boundaries without taking it personal. They're living out their story, their lives, and you have yours. And if you, from this grounded place within you, choose to set a boundary and they choose to have a crazy reaction about it, that's their problem. Nothing to be feeling guilty about. And I know, again, guilt will be triggered and things like that will be triggered. And that's for you to work with whatever support you choose to receive. But is not personal. Whatever their reaction is actually nothing to do with you. It's 100% them living out their story and their choices and their life. And the next level again, so the fourth level, is you will learn to differentiate between current abuse that is not acceptable and something that is actually okay but that triggers a trauma response in you. So this is really important because this can get tricky and it can be messy to recognize, especially at the beginning. And the more you practice, the more you learn to know the signs in your body, the more you learn to know yourself and your authentic self, the more you start being able to discern between the two. And it also is not just relevant to the relationship with your mother, but these things can get triggered even in other relationships. So if you have trauma that you bring with you from childhood caused by the toxicity of the relationship with your mother, that will have an impact on how you relate at work, how you relate with your friends, how you relate with your partner, with your children. There's going to be triggers everywhere. So even if you decide to go no contact, you're going to still have to unpack these triggers, because otherwise it's still going to have an impact on every other aspect of your life, no matter what. So let me give you a real life example from my own life to explain this a little better. I'm going to use my grandmother, who is a vulnerable narcissist, but I can have a relationship with her. I'm not no contact with her. I do have a relationship. And when she comes visit, she loves cleaning and tidying. She's always done that. And for a long time, this thing had me very upset. Like, it used to trigger the hell out of me. I believed it to be a very bad behavior that was intrusive and that made me feel bad. So I thought she was completely out of bounds, completely out of line. What she was doing was wrong. And for a long time, I viewed it this way, which was also causing a lot of conflict. And also for me, it was causing a lot of suffering and frustration and whatnot. In time, And with this work, I've realized that what was happening was that by cleaning and tidying, she was triggering in me a wound of inadequacy that I carried inside that actually had very little to do with her to begin with. She hadn't been the one that inflicted that wound upon me, so to speak. So, but I felt judged as if, and I felt as if I wasn't doing a good enough job. The fact that she was cleaning, I was taking it as an implicit message that I didn't do a good job. Otherwise, she wouldn't have to do it. It was a judgment concealed in an action. That's how I was feeling it. That's what was triggering in me. And obviously, this was getting me very upset. But this new awareness has brought me to realize that her behavior was indeed not abusive. And again, this is not a 100% general statement. Depending on the energy of the person and how the person is doing something, it can be an abuse of power, it can be intrusive, it can be a lot of things. So I'm talking about my very personal experience with this to give you an example. So I realized that this was not an abusive behavior by her. She was actually coming from a beautiful place, but I was triggered. It was triggering for me. So once I unpacked the trigger, I got to a place where I now am 100% fine with her doing whatever tidying or cleaning that she wants to do, and I feel only grateful for it. But I couldn't access that before I unpacked the trigger. That would have been not very helpful and actually quite forceful, and that's not how we do this. We need to go through all the layers. You can't jump from A to C without going through B. But the same person, okay, so the same exact person at some point was doing something that for me was actually completely out of whack. She was talking to my own children behind my back and telling them how my husband and myself were stupid and useless and bad and made all the wrong decisions in parenting, and that my children were growing up messed up because of that. And this was happening behind my back. So that was, for me, a very not acceptable behavior. It was intrusive, and maybe still triggered some sense of inadequacy and my inadequacy wounds in, oh, is she meaning that I'm not a good parent? And that kind of got triggered in some way, shape or form. Yes. And that is something I had to work on and unpack by myself. But the behavior was actually, for me, really, truly not acceptable. So there was a grounded part of me that was rooted in a very, very, very grounded no. And so from there, some boundaries needed to be set, both to the person, something along the lines of, if you behave like this again, then you won't be welcome into this house again. Boundary. And around ourselves, the boundary that we set around ourselves was, leaving the kids with her is not actually a safe option at the moment. And also we talked to the kids and listened to their emotional experience to make sure they were safe in it all. So, and again, I want to say, please note that this is a personal example, and it's not to say that you have to be okay with your mother tidying or anything like that. And whatever triggers you or whatever is a no, a deeply grounded no for you, that's yours and yours alone, and is yours to feel into, and there's no right or wrong. The facts are very personal to each of us, and that's okay. Is the mechanism that counts. So in one case, the first behavior triggered me, but actually that was not something that within the energy of the situation was a really abusive behavior to begin with. It was an old wound in me that was triggered. Now, within that, I could still have some needs, and I could still have some grounded no's, because maybe I'm okay with her cleaning and tidying downstairs in the kitchen, but I might not be okay with her doing that in more private areas of my house where I want to have some privacy. So again, even in a situation that is just something that is triggered in you, you're still allowed and you have total, you're still empowered 100% to set boundaries and go, okay, yeah, it's okay if you do it down there, but you cannot do it upstairs. And it's okay to set boundaries around yourself and lock a room too. You can do that. So it's really, really important then to see instead that the second behavior, whatever about being triggered or not, there's some real serious, deeply grounded knowing that. And again, the next step is setting boundaries. So this is really important, because when you start understanding all of this and you start really feeling into your deeply rooted needs, you can start discerning different situations. So this is not quite as saying I am able to manage the abusive behavior better in terms of I get more tolerant. You don't get more tolerant. You get fine-tuned into what needs very deep boundaries and what you're actually okay with. And you start using that inner wisdom, that inner compass, to decide what is what. And from there, you can decide how much contact you want to have. Because if with this person you have a relationship that's such that you only have the second example, so it's only really abusive behaviors that are presented to you constantly in the present moment, and despite you setting powerful boundaries, also these boundaries are completely not respected and trampled on repeatedly, then you might have to consider the level of contact you have with this person, how healthy it is to be in contact with this person or not. That's where you start discerning. Does that make sense? So with all that said, let's redefine the whole managing. Managing. So managing is not being more adjusted and better able to take abuse. That is not what managing is. Managing is feeling into your inner guidance system and set strong boundaries from there, while recognizing what is a trigger and what is simply not acceptable for you. Start recognizing all of this, follow your guidance system, set strong boundaries grounded in yourself. And from there, you can make empowered choices as to how much contact you want to have and what that looks like for you. What's your unique situation and how you're going to go about it. And it is going to be very personal, and it is going to be very different for each one of us. Please don't measure your healing in terms of how much you can tolerate abuse. That is not healing. That is just bypassing a whole heap of emotion and suppressing a whole heap of other emotions and just put up and shut up and sort of strengthening the coping strategies. And again, there's no judgment there if that's how you want to go about it. Ultimately, there is no judgment, because we all make our own choices and decisions, and whatever works, works. Literally, like, you're never going to hear from me that there's one way to go about this and that's it, because I really don't believe in that. But I do know that there are ways that are more helpful than others in order to feel really, truly happy, at ease, free, self-actualized, open, abundant, and all of that. And being well adjusted to toxicity and abuse is not one of them. It's a way that can only bring you so far. It can't actually bring you the full way to getting to know who you are, the full way to getting to understand yourself, the full way to getting to live your fullest potential and reclaiming your life in its fullness. You can only do that when actually you get less tolerant to toxicity and abuse and more fine-tuned into your inner wisdom and more fine-tuned into what you can accept and what is totally unacceptable. And from there, grounded and strong, you set your boundaries. And then you make your decisions from there. The others don't have to accept your boundaries. If they don't accept them, then there's going to be consequences. If my grandmother didn't accept my boundary when I said that if she kept continuing with that behavior, she wouldn't be welcome, well, then there'd be consequences. The consequence would have been that she wouldn't have been welcome anymore. Now, she did accept the boundary, and so we didn't have to go that far. But that's where you set strong boundaries, and then you're ready to go with the consequences. Not because you want to be intolerant and righteous and bad, because you're protecting your heart, you're protecting your life, you are protecting what's dear to you. In my case, it was my kids. If you have children, you know what I'm talking about, and maybe there's something else that is that dear to you that you want to protect. So the invitation is to go through all the layers that we talked about, to all the four levels of increased discernment and awareness of what's acceptable and what's not, the setting of the boundaries, the detaching from their reaction and not take them personal, they're theirs and theirs alone, and then from there, learning your own system, your inner world, what are just triggers, what are actually abusive behaviors that you really can't accept, and when it's a little bit of a mix of both, always, always stay true to your deep, deep, deep inner needs and make your choices from there. And with that, I hope this was helpful. If you have questions or if you want to share your experience, you can always email me at mathilde@womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. And that's it. I wish you a wonderful, wonderful week. And lots of love. Bye for now.